Thank you for listening to Faith Church Podcast, a ministry of Faith Church of the Nazarene in Jacksonville, North Carolina. For more information about our church, visit our website at jaxnaz.org. That's JAXNAZ.org. We now join our service in progress.
Look down there.
That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No.
Look hard. You see, he lives in you. Father?
Back some memories.
Remember who you are.
Now there's other stuff in that clip that's not biblical, and we're not going to worry about that this morning. Can you just set that aside? And remember the phrase, remember who you are. The story of a son that ran away, perhaps because he forgot who he was. The parable of the prodigal son. We heard the story read this morning. Bruce, thank you. The story of the prodigal son. Remember, the younger son demanded his inheritance, which is kind of the equivalent of saying to dad, I wish you were dead, because then I could have the money. In fact, I want it now. I wish you were already dead. The father gave him his share of the inheritance. A few days later, the son ran away. Then went hog wild until his money ran out. And all those friends that probably helped him spend his money were not there to help, so he ended up with no food. And here a Jewish boy had to get a job feeding pigs. As you may know, the Jews didn't have anything to do with pigs. They were considered unclean animals, and for a Jewish boy to agree to a job tending pigs means he was on the bottom of the under the bottom step. Not only that, but he would have pigged out on the pig pods, but he wasn't even wealthy enough to buy any of those. And he was so low on the totem pole, they wouldn't even give him any pig food to eat. He was hungry enough to eat pig slop. I've seen pig slop. It's not very appetizing. You'd have to be really, really, really hungry to want to eat that. Sad state of affairs for a Hebrew boy. It's at that moment that Scripture says he came to himself, or one translation put, he came to his senses, or he remembered who he was. Before, he wanted his dad dead, and in his mind, dad was dead. He was dead to his dad, and he ran away from home. He considered his dad dead. Suddenly, in the midst of the pig slop, his dad suddenly was resurrected. Dad is now alive again, and You know, things were a lot better back home. In fact, even the hired hands, these are the day workers. They didn't have a steady job, which is kind of the lowest, seemed like lowest of the jobs available, just working a day at a time. That's not very much stability. But he's saying even those guys had it better than I do. So he planned his appeal. How can I appeal to Dad that I know I'm not worthy to be returned home as a son? I'll just become one of the day laborers at Dad's farm, and maybe I'll at least have something to eat that way. So he planned out his speech and began to walk back home. The word tells us that his father saw him while he was a long way off. That says something to me. It says Dad was watching. I suspect one of those things where you go to the window and look out. Have you ever done that? You know your kids are supposed to be home at a certain time. You keep walking to the window looking out. When are they? You know they're going to. Why aren't they here yet? Dad was watching and spotted him a long way off. Ran and hugged him. Now, our culture doesn't quite understand the significance of that phrase. Because in the Hebrew culture, the patriarchs of the family, the men of the family, they don't run for anything. That's not dignified. They didn't have in the mindset, you know, that we do like marathon runners or sports. That running was for the servants to do. The patriarch, the oldest guy in the family, he doesn't run. And yet we find the father running. That says something to anyone who understands that culture. That says something's going on inside. He doesn't matter what it looks like. He doesn't matter if other people look at what he's doing. That's shameful for him. It doesn't matter to him. He's not worried about what's a dignified, appropriate behavior for a man of his stature in the community. He runs to his son. His son begins his speech, but if you compare his planned speech with what he actually says, he only gets through about a third of it before his dad jumps in and orders a robe, a ring, Reeboks, and a roast. Right? Robe, a ring, sandals. I don't know if they were actually Reeboks, but, you know, it fits. And a roast, you know, the fatted calf. He plans a party. You didn't know that there were instant party planners back in those days, but apparently there were, because they put on a party really quickly. And even, was there music involved? Because when the older son comes in out of the field, he hears some merriment taking place. And he asks the servant, hey, what's going on? Nobody told me about the party. What's going on? And he finds out that the younger son has come home. And notice, he gets upset. He's miffed. He's, as my dad would put it, he's up the miff tree and out on a pucker limb. I don't know where he came up with that phrase, but that's lodged in the back of my head for years of hearing that again. He's upset. He's mad that, well, Dad hears that he's upset. Maybe Dad was looking for the older brother as well. And comes out and says, come into the party. No, it's like, I've slaved, I've worked, I've done everything, and you've never even given me so much as a young goat to throw a barbecue for my friends. And this guy who's wasted all your money, probably with prostitutes, comes home and you throw him a party. Like, are you celebrating what he did to you? He shamed you, he mistreated you. You hear what all the neighbors were saying about what happened. Here you are throwing a party for him. The father rejoices anyway. He says, you are always with me. Oh, by the way, the brother calls his brother, not my brother, but that other son of yours, that son of yours, not my brother. The distance there. But the father says, no, you are always with me, and all I have is yours. After all, the other son's already got all of his, so everything I got left goes to you. everything I have is going to be yours. The younger son's already got his and wasted it. So everything we have belongs to you. But we had to celebrate. Your brother was dead. And is now alive again. I thought he was dead. I just knew he was dead. Because that's the direction he was going. He was dead and he's now alive again. He was lost. We didn't know where he was. Nobody knew where he was. And now he's home. Question might be, how many people in this story forgot who they were? Have you ever forgotten who you were? You know, it is possible. In fact, it has happened literally. In fact, I had heard about this story before. I may have even talked about it, but, you know, it kind of fades into my memory. And this last week, a friend of Cheryl's gave her a book about this very story. And if the story, it's a true life story, was made into a movie called The Vow that came out a year or so ago. It's here's a picture in your mind. Can you see that picture in your mind? Let me try it again. What happens when the remote doesn't work? Well, there we go. It finally figured out a way to work. All right, so that's interesting names, Kim and Cricket. Kim is the guy. Cricket is the girl. Their last name is Carpenter. They were married for about 2 months on September 18th, and just before Thanksgiving, they were in an automobile accident, and Cricket was injured, a brain injury resulting in partial amnesia, so that the last 18 months to 2 years approximately of her memory was gone. Almost a two-year section of her memory was gone. The problem with that is that she and her husband had gotten married, met, and fallen in love and gotten married in that time. So she wakes up and doesn't even know she's been married. All of those memories, she forgot ever meeting him, ever falling in love with him, ever marrying. She remembered her own family, she remembered people she had known for years, but couldn't remember him. She saw pictures of her wedding, saw the wedding videos. She had friends and neighbors said, yes, you met this guy. Yes, you fell in love with him. Yes, you got married. But she had no memory of it whatsoever. Wow. And the story is told, she never recovers those. So they began to trust that there was a reason I fell in love with this guy. And he had to trust that somehow, some way, some of who he knew would be recovered, and that even if she was different than she was before, he could still fall in love with this new girl, Cricket, who didn't remember who he was. So they began to meet and date and fall in love all over again. And they ended up having a second wedding because she never remembered the first. Have you ever forgotten who you are? Hopefully not to that extent. But even their story reminds us that it is possible to recover from that level of forgetfulness. And it challenges us to come to our senses. In other words, remember who you are. To come to yourself. And remember whom we were created to be. The prodigal son forgot who he was. He believed that he was now without a family because he wished his father dead and acted as if he were. That path ended up with him broke, hungry, and alone. Now remember, he could have stayed in that spot. He could have stayed at the pig pen. And the result would have been as if he didn't have a family. And the result would have been as if his dad were dead. But here's the grace. He came to his senses. He came to himself. He remembered who he was. He woke up to his situation. He says, wait a minute, what am I doing here? And he aspired not even to be a son, but just to be a hired hand. But the key was, even though the son not only forgot who he was, he sort of remembered, but then never even thought he could reach to the level of a son again. He just wanted to be a hired hand. The key was the father never forgot who he was. The father never forgot who his son was. And the returning son, repentant, that's a key, isn't it? A repentant son returned and was accepted back as a son. That's grace as well. He's accepted back as a son. Remember whom we were created to be. The older brother, I think, forgot who he was as well. He heard the party and heard his brother's return and decided that he was going to stay outside to act as if he wasn't part of the family anymore. Right? Because the family ought to be in the party. And he said, no, I'm not going in. Makes you wonder if he forgot who he was. Because sometimes the people who keep all the rules and do everything right, they're basing their acceptance by the Father on the fact they've done everything right. Have you ever met people around the church like that? That it's got to be done the right way, and if you mess up, you're either you're out or I'm out. You know, it's got to be this way or the highway. Either you're taking the highway or I'm taking the highway. Right? There's never been anybody like that in our church, but you've heard about it happening in other churches, right? The problem is that the older son mentality is that I control things. It ought to be the way that I think it ought to be. If the father is going to accept them, then he's wrong. Now, something is just not right about that, isn't there? Because the father is the one who created the family. And when we tell the father, this is the way you ought to do things, something is upside down. The father says, we've got to celebrate because the prodigal has returned. Too many people in churches see the prodigal return and they wipe off their cloaks and move aside, move away. I don't want to get too close to that guy. The father says, they're here. Let's celebrate. The lost has been found. The dead have been raised. Let's celebrate. The father didn't forget who the older son was. And he challenged his rule-keeping son to change his attitude and join the party to celebrate because the lost has been found. The dead has been raised. We in the church face the danger of making it all about looking right, behaving right, acting right, and we forget it's about saving the lost and letting the Father's love change people's attitudes and behaviors and appearances and actions. Right? God's love ought to be what changes people, not our list of rules or our bony finger saying, you need to change that. Challenge is many times folks in the church want people to shape up to look like how they look after 40 years in the way. Wouldn't want me to take that phrase, 40 years in the way. And, you know, they've only been in 40 minutes and they think they ought to shape up to look like what they look like after 40 years. Come on, give people some grace. Now, it's a good thing that kind of stuff doesn't happen around here, but just in case you're ever tempted to act that way, just remember the story. We don't control the family. The father controls the family. He's welcoming sinners to come in. Sinners probably aren't going to look like or smell like you. Come on, somebody say amen or oh my, one or the other. So we have to be willing to love them and welcome them and pray for them and ask God to continue to change them and shape them. Do you think the Holy Spirit's about the task of purifying them and helping them? Yeah. Sometimes perhaps the Lord works through us. Sometimes I think we're thinking we need to help the Holy Spirit more than He needs the help. Okay? So just remember that. Now, the challenge of this story is, to my way of thinking, the story isn't over. I want Paul Harvey to come and give us the rest of the story. But Paul Harvey doesn't show up here in this passage, unfortunately. And we're left with the father challenging the older brother to change his attitude and to be gracious to his younger brother and to come in and welcome him, join the party, and reunite the family. And we don't know if that happens or not. Did you notice that? We don't know what the older brother does. Jesus doesn't tell us. It leaves it open as to what happens next. So it challenges me to ask the question, where are we in the story? Maybe we're the ones to finish the story. What are we going to do? Where are we in this story? Have you spotted yourself in the story? Some of you who are parents have already identified yourself with the father in that and facing the challenge of raising children. A lot of parents with multiple children recognize how different those children are. They can be opposites. We heard about that, so we stopped at one. So, made it easier. But the rebellious kids sometimes are invited to come to themselves to return and enjoy the restoration. So we invite those rebellious kids into the fold. Come back, come back. Too many times for the rebellious, they act as if God is dead. And to return, they have to believe in resurrection, which is not a bad thing to believe in. They acknowledge the Father is alive. Seek relationship with Him. Are you the prodigal that turned away from God? Perhaps you're back now, but there was a time perhaps you were the prodigal. You acted as if God was dead. Have you taken time to celebrate the welcome home? I hope somebody celebrated with you when it happened. If not, let us know, and I'm game for a party. Right? Maybe we'll have sort of one right here this morning after service. Sometimes the challenge is we find ourselves in the story more like the older brother, have to admit it. That's probably more me in the story. If there's anybody I'm most like in the story, it's probably the older brother. We're challenged to have an attitude adjustment, to look at the big picture and recognize that God is at work here, saving the lost. That's why Jesus came, to seek and to save what was lost. And we are called to celebrate with Him, rejoice in the Father's grace and forgiveness. Recognize that the Father's purpose is not about making me happy. I'm already in the fold. Everything God has already been promised to me. Many times we make the church about us. Come on. Nod your head or say, oh my, if we step on a toe here. We make the church about us when it ought to be about reaching the lost. And we challenge. I need to ask God to help me. How can we do church better so that it welcomes those that feel like God is dead to them? I'm not even sure if God knows I'm alive. How do we present good news to them? How do we welcome them into the fold? The people that worry, is the roof going to cave in if I walk into church? You know, there's some people out there that feel like God's mad at them. And if they show up in church, God will strike them with a lightning bolt or something crazy. We need to help them see the picture of the Father who's looking, longing, loving the lost. That's what the picture's about. That's what the story's about. It's about the salvation of the lost and helping us to grow and mature. We see the prodigal son, we see the older brother, but we also see God in this story. And sometimes I wonder, we read through a story like this and we focus on the prodigal, if we're more like the prodigal. We focus on the older brother, if we're more like the older brother. But I think the chapter here, Luke 15, is more about giving us a picture of God. Because in the story here, in the chapter, we see several stories. We see the story about the shepherd who lost one lamb out of 100. We see the widow who lost a coin. And we see the father whose prodigal son left and then returned. So in this chapter, we see a God who never forgets who he is. He doesn't have to control these children. He doesn't make the prodigal stay at home. He doesn't force the older brother to come into the party. But he never stops loving them. Even in times when it seemed like they wish he were dead, he still loves them. He never stops wanting the best for them. And he's always willing to forgive anyone who repents. In this chapter, we see the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And these stories in this chapter show us a God who is a lamb seeker, a coin finder, and a prodigal welcomer. A God who's always looking for the prodigal, if he'll only turn toward home. A God who's not ashamed to run to meet him, even when that's looked down upon in polite society. A God who's willing to leave the music and the food to welcome the self-righteous to an attitude adjustment and to welcome him to the party. He may offer to serve this self-righteous guy some humble pie to get in, but man, there's a party waiting. So where do you see yourself in this story? Have you forgotten who you are? Do you see yourself? You were created to be a child of God, and you can be if you'll only accept His grace and forgiveness. You are a child of the King if you'll only welcome His grace in your life. You were created to be a child of the King. Have you forgotten? You were created to be a child of the King. Have you forgotten who you are? You are invited to the table, the Father's table, the place of honor as His child. Have you forgotten where your home is? He's inviting you to His table. Are you willing to join Him there? Because He calls us all to be His children. Don't forget. Remember who you are. He calls you to come home because you're welcome there. Would you bow your head with me and pray with me for a moment? Where do you hear the Lord inviting you to come close to Him? I don't know where you're coming from, perhaps. I could guess, but I don't really know. Are you more like the prodigal or more like the older brother? I don't know. But I do know you're welcome at home. You're welcome at the Father's table, if you'll only come. For both sons, it required a change of attitude, but they were both welcome. And the Lord welcomes you today as well. You may have a request, a need, a praise upon your heart this morning. As we close with this song, the altars are open. It's kind of our open prayer time at the altar this morning. So you're welcome to come for any reason today. As we sing this closing song, it's a song that's been around for years. But it's that song that welcomes us home, invites us to come home. Just a reminder today, remember who you are. You are called to be a child of the King if you will only accept Christ as your older brother and the Lord as your Father. Would you stand with us as we take a moment for prayer, and then we'll close with this song. Father, thank you for loving us even in those times when we choose to wander away from you or choose to act as if you were dead. Lord Jesus, thank you that you still love us when we think we know all the answers. We think we know how everybody else should act. Lord, forgive us for our judgmentalism at times and our unwillingness to forgive others that have hurt us and others that have run away and have left behind their responsibilities. Many times, Lord, we think we have been the one that's wrong. And Lord, anyone that turns away from you, they're hurting you, not us. Lord Jesus, may our hearts be changed today. Whether we are ones who were all about what we wanted, or Lord, whether we were ones who thought we knew everything that ought, how everything ought to go, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for not yielding our lives fully to you. Today, Lord, may we say yes to you. Lord, may your will be done in us. Lord Jesus, do your work in us today. May we truly come home to you, we pray in Christ's name.